on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Hello, hello everyone. Vicky Michelle here with some more VX Mix on Phoenix 98 FM. And I'm here with the fabulous Tony Smith, who will be twiddling the flashing knobs. How are you, Tony?
Yeah, got the giggles now. Yeah, I'm really good, thanks.
Well, do you know what, Tony? I think you've been sitting down too long. In fact, I think you should get up off of that thing, James Brown. Was Get Up Off of That Thing, James Brown, 1976, written by James Brown. And James was inspired to write this while performing in a club in Fort Lauderdale. The audience were just sitting, listening, looking depressed when Brown had been working his hardest to entertain them and get them up dancing, even though he wasn't feeling that great. So he yelled at them, "Get up off of that thing and dance, you'll feel better." And the song was later recorded live in a studio in just 2 takes. No rehearsal, nothing. Just straight to record. Can you imagine doing that in a studio now?
No, it's not, but it should be done like that. But
it should. Yeah. I mean, people take, ages to record things. Do you know anyone that records quickly?
No. Apart from me. No, I mean, I talk quickly.
Anyway, I think we should play Imagine next by Julian Lennon.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. imagine all the people living a life in peace. You know, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You know, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
That was Imagine, Julian Lennon, 2022, written by John Lennon. And I'm playing it for Julian's birthday, which was on the 8th of April. Julian claims in many ways he was dreading the day he would have to perform his father's famous song. And he went on to explain he'd only sing if there was a very good reason. The war in Ukraine compelled him to perform it, later recording it for Global Citizens Stand Up for Ukraine charity to honour those suffering in the war-torn country. He found the experience extremely emotive and wanted to do the song justice. Ultimately, he claimed that performing it made him feel whole. I think he did a brilliant job. Do you, Tony?
Yeah, I thought it was on par with the original.
Yeah, yeah. Easy. Sounds like his dad a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much
for
so.
Sure. And donations from the song were donated to the people of Ukraine and others suffering around the world. What a lovely thing to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really lovely.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Okay, shall we go for a bit more of an upbeat number? Are you ready to boogie on down to this one? I think it's more like head bashing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, shake the hair.
Shake the hair.
Not in my case.
On the head. This is Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses. Well, that woke you up, Tony. That was Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, 1987, written by Guns N' Roses, and I'm playing it for guitarist and Guns N' Roses co-founder Izzy Stradlin's birthday, which was on the 8th of April. And Izzy Stradlin and Axl Rose were responsible for forming the band, and they took their name from two previous bands they used to play in, LA Guns and Hollywood Rose. And this track was all about the dark side of LA, and the band were living in a house on Sunset Boulevard at the time, which they called the Hell House. And Tony was loving this one. He was head bashing and playing air guitar.
Yeah, do you know what? It reminds me, because when I was, years ago when I was in the print, all the machines used to be, you know, making a noise. And everyone used to have Walkmans back then, and I had the album on my Walkman. It was a great album. Everyone had Guns N' Roses on there. And that and Wet, Wet, Wet.
That and Wet, Wet, Wet.
Yeah.
Well, you were very good at that air guitar.
Yeah, it was really good.
Can you play guitar?
A little bit, yeah. I haven't picked up the guitar for ages, but I'm a bit strum.
Oh, strum.
Strum and sing.
Strum is okay. But this song was included in the soundtrack of the film Jumanji, starring Robin Williams. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I loved that
film. The first one, the original, the original one.
Yeah, I loved that film. It was like, I thought it was wondrous.
Welcome to Jumanji.
Yeah. Well, it was absolutely wondrous. I think we should play Wondrous Stories by Yes. Wondrous Stories, Yes, 1977 was UK number 7. This track remains the band's highest charting single in the UK, and I'm playing it for Yes guitarist Steve Howe's birthday, which was on the 8th of April. He first joined Yes in 1974 and helped change the musical direction of the band. He is currently the longest serving member of Yes, despite having left and rejoined them over 3 separate periods. This track was written while the band were in Switzerland and working on a new album together, Going for the One. And a demo version of this track was sent to Rick Wakeman in order to entice him back to the band, which he had previously left in 2004. The ploy worked. As a result of the demo, Rick liked the band, the way the band were heading, and felt he could contribute to their music, rejoining the fold. Yeah, he was playing on that one. when I looked at the YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the current formation of Yes will be touring Europe from May. And also my mate, Rick, will be attending and speaking at my... Well, he will be attending my patron's lunch, which is hosted by the Lady Ratlings on the 12th of May at the Marriott Regent's Park. So I'm looking forward to seeing him and Rachel.
Yeah,
he's
sounds
such,
like
he's such a
bash,
lovely bloke, yeah. I don't think he's going to play, but he's really so good. When he does Eleanor Rigby in the style of... I can't remember it is, Rachmaninoff or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
But if there's a piano in the room and everyone goes, go on, get up, Rick, does he normally get up?
Yeah, sometimes he does. Yeah, if I twist his arm right up his back. No. And we've got Cheryl Baker's coming and Anne Hegarty from The Chase, so it's going to be a really, really great do. Okay, shall I play a Bob Marley and the Wailers number? This is Could You Be Loved? Was Could You Be Loved, Bob Marley and the Wailers, 1980, a UK number five, and playing for what would have been Bunny Wailer's birthday, which would have been on the 10th of April. Bunny was a singer with the Wailers and considered a long-time standard bearer of reggae music. In fact, Tony was doing some good reggae moves there, weren't you, Tony? Got his hands in the air, hips are moving.
I forgot you was looking, yeah.
And Bunny first met Bob Marley as a boy. They both came from single-parent families. Marley was brought up by his mother and Livingston his father. Ultimately, Livingston, who is Bunny, ultimately the two families united. And this song came about when Wailers band member Junior Marvin came up with a famous guitar riff while messing around on his guitar between shows in London. Marley heard him and asked if he could have it. He knew he could make it a hit. The song quickly became one of the first reggae tracks to get airplay on American radio. And the current version of the Wailers are on tour around the USA and Canada. You love that record, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a great dance track as well. It's a song I often play when I'm DJing.
You DJ, gets everyone up.
Yeah, it always gets everyone always up. It's just got that great start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone jumps up.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's the introduction, isn't it? Always. Right, what shall I play next? Do you know what? I'm going to play Blue Suede Shoes, but not by Elvis Presley. I'm going to play it by Carl Perkins, who wrote it.
Yes, he did, yeah. Lesser known Tennessee singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Should be good.
Should be good. Ready?
Yeah.
Carl Perkins.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but get off of my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoe. My car, you drank my liquor from my old fruit jar. You do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoe. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoe, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. You can do anything, but lay off.
That was Blue Suede Shoes, Carl Perkins, 1955. And I'm playing it for what would have been Carl Perkins' birthday, the 9th of April. And it reached number 9 in the UK. Oh, but that was when Elvis did it in 1956. And also Elvis's version was used in the Elvis film G.I. Blues. But Perkins got the idea for the lyrics from a guy at a dance who was paying more attention to his blue suede shoes than his girlfriend. And the lyrics came to Perkins in the middle of the night, but he couldn't find any paper at the time, so he wrote them on a potato sack. As you do.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Nowadays we're all looking at our phones. Back in the 50s, they was checking out their suede shoes.
Yeah, and writing lyrics on potato sacks. And Carl was nicknamed the King of Rockability. Oh, no, Rockabilly.
Yeah, Rockabilly.
Not Rockability. Yeah, Rockabilly.
They had, like, the spiked haircut. They had the quiff, but they used to cut it really short. So it was, like, skin but the side. And then the Rockabilly was kind of like a different movement to the Teddy Boys.
And what were you doing just now while it was playing?
Yeah, I was having a little boogie in the background.
And spinning.
Oh, yeah, the double bass.
The double bass. Pretending.
Yeah. Which is just like the real thing.
Of course. It looked really good. It was really effective, though. And do you know who else loves this song by Elvis Presley? The fabulous Harry Redknapp. And he's on one of my charities, the Dream Factory, and he's just brilliant. And did you see me this morning on Alan Titchmarsh with the fabulous Harry Redknapp?
No, I missed it. I will catch up with you, though.
Oh, it's not good enough time.
I know. I was
up late. Keep reminding you. And yeah, he was a guest on Love Your Weekend, and it was fabulous seeing him. And Alan, he's so good at interviewing people. He's so like laid back.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, very laid back.
And he's just it's so easy. And we all had fun. And then the other guest was Marion Keyes, and she was really really lovely. And she wrote a book. Well, one of the books was called Grown Ups, which my sister had just given me to read before I met her. How weird is that?
That's brilliant.
And I was thinking about, I thought, I haven't seen Harry for a while. And then this came up, you know, and I thought, wow, that's weird. So I was meant to see them. And also it was a really, really nice day. And I just really enjoyed their company. And then we had to drink. And I was so looking forward to the cocktails and the wine. And what did we get?
Orange juice.
Beer.
Oh, beer. That's all right.
No. Right up your street.
Yeah, right up.
Because what did you say to me? Just I said, Tony, you've got to drink more water because people lack energy from not drinking water. And what did you say?
I said, I drink the yellow water. And you said, what? And I said, you know, the one with the froth on the top. It went over your head for a few seconds.
Yeah, and then you said, beer.
Yeah. Practically
so
water.
So you would have loved it. But I didn't drink beer. Harry didn't drink beer. But actually, it was really nice. You know, the tastes were really nice, so I could be converted. And there was a really fruity one that was like blackcurrants.
It might be the ales. They do some great ones really? Nowadays. Some of the micro breweries do fantastic beers and lagers.
Yeah, and they use all like British on there, which I didn't realise at the time that all of the alcohol that they use on Alan Titchmarsh is from Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really interesting, and I had a lovely time. So I hope you, if anyone did see it, I hope you enjoyed it. It was fun.
You reminded me, you said last week, don't forget to watch it, and then you go, I forgot.
And then you forgot. But I'm not speaking to you now. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Vix Mix on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Vicky Michelle, and the fabulous Tony Smith. Okay, let's play a Lisa Stansfield number. This is All Woman.
He's home again from another day. She smiles at him as he walks through the door. She wonders if it will be okay. It's hard for her when he doesn't respond. He says, babe, you look a mess. Daddy in that dress, it's just not like it used to be. Then she says, I may not be a lady, but I'm all woman. From Monday to Sunday, I work harder than you know. Tears flow, tears that she's been holding back so long. She wonders where did all the loving go, the love they used to share when they were strong. She says, yes, I look a mess, but I don't love you any less. I thought you always thought enough of me to always be impressed. I may not be a lady, but I'm all woman. From Monday to Sunday, I work my fingers to the bone. He holds her and hangs his head in shame. He doesn't see her like he used to do.
That was All Woman, Lisa Stansfield, 1991, written by Lisa Stansfield, Ian Devaney and Andy Morris. And I'm playing it for Lisa Stansfield's birthday, the 11th of April. Lisa's co-writers on this song were former classmates of hers, trumpeter Andy Morris and keyboardist Ian Devaney. For a time, they performed as a group together until Lisa was invited to sing with the duo Colcut, which culminated in her receiving a solo recording contract with Arista. However, Lisa, Andy and Ian remained together as writers, with Lisa and Ian eventually marrying in 1998. And she is currently touring the UK, and she will be performing in Maldon, Essex, at the Promenade Park in June. That should be good.
Yeah, it's good there as well, yeah. Promenade Park.
Do you go there?
Yeah, quite a bit. They have a lot of events there. So, obviously, you've got the waterway coming in and all the boats.
It's really a lovely area.
Lovely area, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we play a Roy Orbison number next? You love Roy Orbison.
I do like Roy Orbison, yeah.
This is Claudette.
To death, Claudette. Pretty little pet, Claudette. Never make me fret, Claudette. She's the greatest little girl that I've ever met. I get the best love in it I'll ever get from Claudette. Whoa, whoa, Claudette. Yeah, yeah, Claudette. My baby treats me right. She's gonna let me hug and kiss and hold her tight. When the day is over and we're at her front door, when I kiss her goodnight, I'll holler more, more, more. Claudette, pretty little pet, Claudette. Never make me fret, Claudette. She's the greatest little girl that I've ever met. I get the best love and that I'll ever get from Claudette. Whoa. Yeah, yeah,
Orbison, 1965, written by Roy Orbison. This was Roy's first major songwriting success, written before he found fame as a singer. And he dedicated this to his first wife, Claudette. And the reason I'm playing this is for John Courtier, who requested this last week. So I hope you enjoyed that, John. It's in tribute to his wife, Claudette, who passed away recently after 52 years of marriage. And John says she was beautiful in every way. So I'm so sorry for your loss, John. Yeah, it's a beautiful record and a tribute to his wife. Beautiful song. And but you liked some other songs?
Yeah, I love
what was that? What was that?
Oh, the Roy Orbison one we were talking about. Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby. How does that one go?
I can't remember it, but it just the chorus was Ooby Dooby 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 or something like that. Along those lines.
Very good time.
He had some great hits.
And you used to be a rocker, so you used to go with what was the haircut?
Yeah, the Teddy Boy haircut, all the hair up there, and I used to. I had to kind of used to gel it and then used to blow dry it so it went up in the old duck bit at the back and then at the front it was like a quiff, but like a boat, massive one.
Yeah, massive.
And my mum went, if you keep doing that, all your hair will fall out. I was about 20.
What happened?
26, gone.
Yeah,
eggshell blonde. From there on,
I'm going to get the polish out to do that hair later. So, and what was the other one that makes you laugh? That's Roy Orbison's.
Well, you got Pretty Woman, which is good as well.
Yeah. But the one that reminds you of Only Fools and Horses.
Oh yeah, crying. Yeah, because in the plot, they start to sing, and obviously you don't know that the singer's got the he can't say the W's in it, so he goes crying,
crying.
And it's a brilliant. It's a Raquel's there, and she's trying to sing it. She sings it once, and then he has to redo it, going crying, and she's going, and she does it sometimes and goes crying, and tries to correct herself.
Brilliant.
So every time you hear the song, you just remember Only Fools and Horses.
So crying reminds you of Only Fools. Yeah, what a brilliant series. That was
it's meant to be a serious song as well.
Yeah,
we'll start laughing at it.
But I hope you like that, John. Sorry about your loss. But I've got a little bit of information here. Someone from Essex. Do you know this? That Roy's official fan club was run by Maggie Finch for many years from her home in Harold Hill, near Romford, Essex.
No, nice bird.
From 63 to 78. So there's our little Essex
little Finch
tie up. Little Finch. Little Finch. Shall I play a Sophie Ellis Bexter number next?
Yes.
This is Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love.
Closer, it's time that I told you everything's going to be.
That was Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love, Sophie Ellis-Bextor. In the year 2000, it was a UK number one, written by Cristiano Spiller, Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Rob Davis. And I'm playing it for Sophie Ellis-Bextor's birthday, which was on the 10th of April. It was originally created as an instrumental after writer Cristiano Spiller was inspired by a visit to Miami nightclub Groove Jet. He later re-recorded it with Sophie Ellis-Bextor providing the locals, largely because several of his friends kept asking him, when was he going to add lyrics? And not a lot of people know this, or they maybe do. Sophie is the daughter of former Blue Peter presenter Janet Ellis, who is lovely. And in an online interview, Sophie claimed she was sometimes given grief at school because her mum was on TV. So she decided to turn the situation to her advantage. Do you know what she did?
Got a Blue Peter badge and went on TV.
Close, close. She sold Blue Peter badges and autographs on the playground, doing a roaring trade until her mum asked her why she kept asking for so much stuff. Now, that's entrepreneurism,
yeah,
isn't it? That's a good idea. And the video of her first solo single, do you know who it was made by?
No.
Prince Edward's Production.
Oh, right,
company.
Yes, because he had one that back then,
yeah,
didn't he?
Argent, oh. Yeah. And I met her at the Southend Film Festival, and it was, and she's really, really a lovely girl. But you've met her as well.
Yeah, you? I met her at the Brentwood Festival, and she's lovely. I introduced her on stage here in Brentwood, and she had the kids here as well backstage, and they was running around and all having a laugh. Everyone was having a good time, as you do in a festival.
How many kids?
I think she had two. There was two that I was talking to, because they was back in the green light. We have the green room, so to speak, or green tent it was, and he had all the free food and all the, you know, the drinks stacked up, and they was just squirting everything, like doing what kids do, because it was quite young back then.
Little monsters.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't say anything. Yeah,
no. I mean, kids are
Sophie,
kids.
Sort those kids out.
Kids. And she'll be touring the UK from June this year. Okay, shall we play Ollie Alexander's number? This is Dizzy.
Take my hand and spin.
That was Dizzy Ollie Alexander, and it's 2024, and he is going to be singing that in the Eurovision Song Contest, which is in Sweden. He claims the song was inspired by 1980s acts Erasure, the Pet Shop Boys, and DJ Adamski. And he wrote this with Danny L. Hall and says he's obsessed with Eurovision and has been his whole life. It did sound a bit Pet Shop Boys. And
yeah, and Danny L. Hall does a lot of dance tracks anyway, so that's the dance rhythm behind it. Obviously,
I think he's good, and he's a good performer, yeah. So he'll put it over. And we were talking off air, just saying that the ones that win are the performers, really.
Yeah, you need both. You need to be able to put the show on and sing the song. Obviously, he came from the group Years and Years, which also had a load of hits. Yeah. So he's already well known throughout Europe anyway. So it puts him on good stead before the competition. So it's going to be good.
And Duncan James is going to be one of the hosts, because I saw him on Breakfast Telly.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be really good, and I presume Graham Norton and Ryland
will be doing the voice,
you're doing everything. So I love it. Do you like it?
I never used to, but I've kind of got into it. Yeah. I'm normally working those days, but if I'm not, I will sit there and watch the points coming in. It's quite a good evening, isn't it?
But the trouble is that England, it was never voted for. It was always all the countries sticking together and voting for
block
each
voting.
Other. Yeah,
block voting. Yeah, they still do that to a certain extent. They vote for their neighbours. Very controversial, but I mean, we don't normally take it that seriously. The last couple of years, we've got into a bit more, but back then, we kind of like, we don't care, you know, but
we're getting the votes back again now.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like
because
going
Sam,
on
because Sam, well, won really, but it was the
Ukraine, he came second. Yeah, came second, but the Ukrainians got that vote, and then, but we did host it, obviously, so we hosted it in Liverpool, didn't we, last year, so.
Oh, well, I hope that Ollie Alexander does well, because he sounds and he looks great. He's a good actor as well.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's a great all-rounder.
Yeah.
Great all-rounder.
So should we play a five-star number? This is All Fall Down.
All fall down, all fall down, all fall down.
Wake up at night, feeling so lonely, people I knew.
was All Fall Down, 5-star, 1985. It was a UK number 15. This was 5-star's breakthrough hit, giving them their first top 40 chart entry, playing it for singer Delroy Pearson's birthday, which is the 10th of April. And 5-star were a British pop band comprising of siblings Steadman, Lorraine, Denise, Doris and Delroy. And they are from where, Tony?
Essex. Well, Romford.
Romford. Yeah, Essex. Romford. And it just happens to be National Siblings Day on the 10th of April, so, or it was, and the day to show your siblings love and affection. Did you do that?
No, I forgot. They have so many days to think about now, though.
There are so many days. Yeah. There's so many different days. But I actually met Denise Pearson and her partner, Brinsley Ford, who was in Aswad, and they were on Pointless with me. And the others on the show were Jan Leeming, John Ketley, Andy Crane, Tommy Boyd, all like good names, intelligent people, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I was partnering Linda Lusardi. And who won?
You won.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just a pretty face, Linda. She's really good, really good. But this group were compared to the Jacksons a lot. I seem to remember that.
Yeah,
you know,
that
when
was,
they started out.
That was a great, great band back in the day. And there was the typical 80s band back then as well. And and obviously their music was great.
The 80s feel,
and that was a sound as well. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it was great. And, well, I better play a Michael Jackson number next then. This is The Way You Make Me Feel. was The Way You Make Me Feel.